The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 18. At this point, we ceased our futile attempts to get reasonable directions out of the swamp from our chimp companion, Mr. Freddy Bananas III, and went back to relying on the human guide, Hobie, who, at least, was able to communicate with us in our own language, and was not inclined to eat the writing utensils we provided. Hobie himself was relying not on his personal experience of the swamp, but on reports related to him by his people. And by his people, I mean RC enthusiasts. Apparently, the Great Swamp was a fantastic place to run your radio-controlled boats and whatnot, if that was something that you were inclined to do. Some of these odd people had posted comments on some internet bulletin board or blog or such like that Hobie frequented, and it was from these that Hobie had gleaned what information he possessed about the geography of the swamp. This information was by no means encyclopedic, and so we wandered a bit. It was in the midst of this only semi-aimless wandering that a rather startling but informative incident occurred. We had just descended into an even lower and moister part of the swamp when Mr. Bananas began to get very agitated. He was standing on the camel's back with his hands, or paws, on Alvy's shoulders, and sort of hopping up and down and making an odd noise that I can only describe as a kind of rhythmic hooting. His attention seemed to have been seized by something in the water. Looking down into the swirling filth and murk, I realized that it was a crocodile, and it was swimming, rather swiftly I might add, right at us. Before I could even turn my camel and hie it for higher ground, Freddy Bananas, the third, leapt from the back of Alvy's camel and hurled himself at the approaching amphibian. At first I thought he was, in a fit of intra-primate solidarity, attempting to protect us, but soon it became clear that this was not his motivation at all. The chimp jumped right up on the head of the great malevolent beast, and immediately began the fitful ministrations that he had earlier visited on Roger. That is to say, he began trying to hump the thing, albeit, once again, not very effectively. Mr. Banana's aim was not what it might have been, for his member was sadly lined up more or less with the wide open and glaring left eye of the rampaging reptile. Suffice it to say, the mystery of the blinded crocodiles was solved for us at that moment. His frenzied simian thrusting had a somewhat deleterious effect on the crocodile, who struggled to break free from this unwanted romantic interlude. With a great thrash of his mighty tail, he finally succeeded, and quickly submerged, no doubt in some hurry to escape from our hairy, lust-crazed companion. Mr. Bananas seemed very dejected once the croc vanished into the murky waters. He sat mournfully staring at the spot where the object of his odd desires had disappeared below the surface. He had to be bodily lifted back onto his perch behind Alvy. And so, we continued on our way.